Hello, this is Brock Lesnar of Brock Lesnar Hoops, bringing you a week 9 waiver wire transaction trend video. Most of these guys I will talk about are owned in about 40% of leagues or less. I might throw some in there that are owned in more if I think you absolutely should be picking them up. The first guy we will be discussing is Kessler Edwards. And the word Kessler reminds me of this really nasty $10 whiskey I used to drink in college, and the thought of it, just hearing Kessler, the smells in my nose and it makes me want to gag. Avoid that at all costs. Now, Kessler Edwards, I don't want to put that stink on him. He was pretty good. He played 44 minutes. Why did he play 44 minutes? Well, half of the Nets are out on COVID protocol. Thank you, Kyrie. James Harden is out. LaMarcus Aldridge is out. Bruce Brown is out. So half of their starters are out, which allowed Kessler to get 44 minutes, had 3 3-pointers, 17 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 turnovers. Will he have that sort of opportunity once the team is at full strength? Highly unlikely. But in the short term, he does present some value for you. You may want to give him a look to see if he continues getting that allotment of minutes and the opportunity to produce for your team. Now, do keep in mind, this is a one game sample size, so don't drop anyone that you value, because the thing with one game sample sizes, if the next game he does poorly, then you're going to be tempted to drop him. So make sure the guy you're dropping doesn't have longer term value and just a more known commodity. I highly suggest against doing that. Someone who absolutely is a much more known commodity is Isaac Okoro. He's put together his 4th strong game in a row, getting you 16 points or more over those last few games. And he's hit 3 or more 3-pointers 2 games in a row. He shot over 50% over the last 5 games. He's keeping the turnovers low. The steals and blocks numbers aren't really there yet, but he's showing a lot of promise, a lot of potential, and the opportunity is there. And if you see here, the team is winning, so that all bodes well for his long-term value. I picked him up in a 12-team league. Some of my other leagues, I didn't really have a great drop for him. But if you do have a decent drop, I highly suggest you give Isaac Okoro a look, because another game or two like that, and he'll be owned in a lot more than 23% of leagues. PJ Tucker is one of those guys I value for the ability to hit threes, steals, blocks, and there's playing time available because Bam Adebayo is out for the next few weeks. Jimmy Butler didn't play. Tyler Hero didn't play. He plays tough defense, not a great offensive player, but he does hit threes. His percentages are decent. He's keeping the turnovers low. He helps you in enough different areas where I would say he's worthy of rostering even in 12-team league. Now, unlike Kessler Edwards, Nicholas Claxton is somebody I feel more strongly about, not only in the short term, but also in the long term. The guy ahead of him is LaMarcus Aldridge, which he's not a future piece for that team. Nicholas Claxton does have that potential to be their long-term center. At least that's what they want to find out. So if he plays well now that he's getting this playing time, you see there they had a win against Toronto. He's someone that down the line, if they start resting LaMarcus Aldridge for the playoffs, is going to benefit tremendously from that happening. So Nicholas Claxton, only rostered in 16% of leagues. Give him a look if you need that Nerlens Noel type potential to get steals, blocks, high field goal percentage. Isn't going to really score much, but he can rebound. He'll keep the turnovers low, and he can help you in that sense. Frank Jackson is worthy of a look. December 12th in the loss against Brooklyn, he had 6 3-pointers, 25 points, and he seems to be one of the main beneficiaries of Jeremy Grant being injured. Now, Jeremy Grant being injured opens up a ton of shots, opens up a ton of usage, and Frank Jackson is one of their better offensive options to replace him with. You see there, he got 31 minutes. So if you need a point guard eligible player that has the ability to hit threes and score, doesn't do much outside of that, give him a look. He's only 10% rostered. Cameron Payne is another low-end point guard you can give a look to If you need a point guard eligible player, I'd say 14 teams or deeper. He played 34 minutes, had 2 3-pointers, 17 points, 5 assists. He scored 12 or more points over the last 3 games, 4 or more assists over the last 3 games. He's getting significant playing time. A lot of that has to do with the team not being at full strength. Devin Booker hasn't been playing, but he has been getting minutes next to Chris Paul. He's a low-end pickup, probably ideal for 14 teams or deeper. He's only rostered in 13% of leagues. Give him a look if that sounds appealing to you. Terrence Ross, only rostered in 26% of leagues. We learned Gary Harris missed the game due to hamstring issues. He had 18 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists, a steal, a block. No 3-pointers, but you can normally count on him for close to 2 3-pointers per game when he's getting the playing time. And this is his third game over the last 3 where he's gotten 32 or more minutes. He's incredibly streaky, but he's been cold for the majority of the season. We might be seeing him enter a hot streak. I feel like he's our modern day J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith would go on these hot stretches where he was a top fantasy player, and then he'd go on these cold stretches where he was one of the worst players to have in the league. Looks like he might be going on a hot stretch, so give him a look if that threes and scoring potential with the ability to get you some steals is appealing to you. Now, Nerlens Noel is rostered in 43% of leagues, so he's still widely available, but not as available as the other guys. But I feel like people have given up on him in the sense that he's missed games here and there with knee issues, and the production we wanted, it's decent. We're getting a steal, we're getting 1.2 blocks, but we expected a little bit more. The field goal percentage isn't as high as we expected, but the free throw percentage hasn't been awful. He doesn't take a whole lot of them, and I think he's going to be better than he has been. And his defense is crucial to that team. He's one of their best defenders, especially amongst their big men. So if he's available in your league and you need a center, he's one to strongly consider. Now, Alperen Şengün is owned in 59% of leagues, but that was not the case when he was the cover star of my video from Monday, where I told you he had the highest potential of any center you were going to find on the waiver wire. He only had about 40%, under 40% ownership. I hope you watched that video, and I hope you acted, because he proceeded to yesterday have his best game of the season, possibly 19 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, a block, 50% shooting, 83% free throw, played 28 minutes, and I kept saying I want him to get those minutes, and this is why. I called him probably the best stash in the NBA right now, and soon he won't be a stash anymore. He's still only rostered in 59% of leagues, which is not a whole lot, but the upside is there. If you're in one of those 41% of leagues where he's still on the waiver wire, this is probably your absolute last warning to pick him up. Stomach some of those bad games, because in the long term, he's going to be great for you. Danny Green, just when I had given up on him, he had low minutes, wasn't doing anything. He plays 28 minutes, has 3 3-pointers, 5 steals, and it just really shows that steals, blocks, and threes potential that Danny Green presents. He's one of the original 3-and-D guys that I remember from fantasy basketball. He's done this for a very long time, the streakiness included. Now, my concern is, it seems to be he's switching off with Matisse Thybulle. When he has a good game and gets minutes, Matisse Thybulle does not, which makes sense. They're both limited offensively, but Matisse Thybulle a lot more. Danny Green is at least a long-range threat. He's a good defensive player, but he's not as good of a defensive player as Matisse Thybulle. So, for example, against the Warriors, they rolled out Matisse Thybulle and put him on Steph Curry. But there's going to be games where they prefer the stretching the floor ability that Danny Green has. So my concern is, we'll see this happen where he gets minutes in the teens, and then he gets 30 minutes, and they trade off in that way, which is really cannibalizing the value of both players. Still, though, if you're in a 14-team format or deeper, Danny Green is worthy of consideration. Just keep in mind the duds that he can put up, but don't lose sight of those 3 3-pointers and those 5 steals. That 5 steals from just one guy you picked up off the waiver wire can win you the category for that week, and he presents that type of potential. Herbert Jones is another guy that has that steals and blocks potential. Now, he didn't have a great game, but I'm still going to recommend him because he played 33 minutes. It was a win. And Zion Williamson is not coming back anytime soon. I think the Pelicans absolutely want to develop him and see what they can get out of him. So even though he's struggled over the last few games, he still got you a block. Not great. Didn't get you any turnovers. Trying to look for the positives, but don't lose sight of his upside. This is really a guy I'm suggesting on his upside. And you can see there, we've seen several games from him where he hit three-pointers, where he scored, he got rebounds, he got steals, he got blocks. He's still adjusting to the pace of the NBA. What matters is the minutes and the opportunity is there for him. I'd consider him a stash as well. Even if he's not producing in the short term, he just got power forward eligibility, which gives him a little bit more flexibility as far as your roster. Don't give up on him just yet. I really like his upside to help you in your steals and blocks. Dorian Finney-Smith is only rostered in 36% of leagues, and he's another one of those steals, blocks, and threes guys that I've mentioned before. They're glue guys. Now, why do I keep talking about those specific categories? Well, it's quite simple. Heavy usage players tend to not be available. Heavy usage players are going to be your heavy scorers. They're going to be the stars on your team. They're the guys who have the ball in their hands. Now, normally, just based on mathematics, usage is limited, so you're only going to have two or three guys maybe on the team to get heavy usage. So you're not going to find heavy usage guys on the waiver wire, which means you're not going to find guys that score a lot and get you a ton of assists on the waiver wire. That just tends to be how it works. Now, what doesn't require usage? Threes, because you can stand around the perimeter waiting for the star player to pass you the ball and then you shoot. That's not really usage. You might only take 5 or 6 shots a game, but they could be three-pointers, so they help you there. If they're efficient at hitting that, they help your percentages as well. Not really an area Dorian Finney-Smith helps you with, but steals and blocks, that is not tied to usage at all. That's tied to defense. And any player on the floor getting minutes can play defense and can get you steals and blocks. So that's why I value minutes. I don't look at usage. So they're not going to help my scoring. Rebounding is something else. Does not require usage. So if they have the ability to rebound, they can help you there without needing the ball in their hands. And because they don't have the ball in their hands a lot, they tend to help your turnovers. That's several different categories I mentioned where low usage guys can help you. Now, low usage guys are less consistent overall. There tends to be more inconsistency because they don't have the ability to produce with those points and assists that you're normally expecting from them. So if they're not getting you those steals and blocks or hitting their threes, you tend to want to drop them, which is why you end up seeing them on the waiver wire a lot. But overall, don't ignore those categories. Don't ignore a guy like Dorian Finney-Smith or a lot of the other guys that I mentioned from the waiver wire, because they can produce in those categories and help you win your week. Patrick Beverley is absolutely one of those guys as well. He is injury prone. We've seen that already this season. We see him do pretty well getting minutes, and then he gets injured and then he misses several games, but he's back healthy for the time being. And you can see there his last game, 3 three-pointers, 11 points, 2 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 wins in a row. He's got in 30 or more minutes the last 2 games, 23 or more minutes since his return. If you're in need of a point guard, point guards are very valuable, especially when averaging almost a block per game. Do not sleep on that. Listen to what I just told you. And he's getting you assists. The assist to turnover ratio is really nice. So if you need a boost to your assist, if you need a boost to your steals and blocks from a point guard eligible player, while also keeping the turnovers relatively low, and his percentages are not that bad at all. The free throw percentage is meh, but that field goal percentage, normally not something Patrick Beverley helps you with. So he's a pretty decent point guard target. If you're in need of a point guard, I'd say 12 teams or deeper. Justin Holiday's a guy I at least want to put on your radar. He came back after a long stretch of missing games. The last game he played, you could see there, played 39 minutes, had 3 three-pointers, 15 points, a steal, and a block. And right there, that sort of game is why I recommend at least not ignoring Justin Holiday's return. He didn't have a great game. He only played 20 minutes. But keep in mind, TJ McConnell is out for the foreseeable future, which opens up a lot of usage and playing time, which was not available really earlier on in the season. Justin Holiday is one of those plug-and-play guys they have. When there's an injury, he gets more minutes, and he can contribute in several different areas. He reminds me a lot of Danny Green. It's not the first time I've said that. Very Danny Green-like player. When he has a bad game, it's bad, but then he'll have a game where he hits three or four threes, gets you three or four steals, sometimes can even get you some blocks, and his turnovers tend to be low. He fits that mold of these 3-and-D guys that I'm telling you about. He's only 19% rostered. If you're in a 14-team league or deeper, absolutely give him a look. I know in some of my leagues, I just threw him in the IR or IL because he was eligible. He's probably going to stay in the IL until I have an injury, but once I have an injury, I'll slide him in. Unless there's somebody on the waiver wire with IL eligibility, I think would be a better use of that spot. But for right now, do not lose sight of the fact that Justin Holiday has shown the ability to help your fantasy basketball team. We haven't fully seen that yet this season, but the potential is absolutely there for him. The last guy I want to recommend you look at is Isaiah Hartenstein. So I picked him up in my overstated fantasy hoops league sometime last week. He's really benefit from Paul George not playing. The Clippers are not at full health right now. But he's bumped Serge Ibaka from the rotation. He has the ability to get you good steals. He has the ability to get you good blocks. As you can see, they're averaging 0.8 steals, 1.2 blocks per game for a guy only rostered in 14% of the league, shooting 65% from the field. The turnovers are low, but more importantly, he's starting to get minutes. If he can stay in that 20 to 25 minute range, we'll have to see if he still gets those minutes when Paul George is back. But really, his only threat to minutes is Ivica Zubac, who's not a great center himself. He's not really that strong of an obstacle to playing time, in my opinion, especially when they've been doing pretty decently with Isaiah Hartenstein getting minutes. So the fact that he's already bumped Serge Ibaka, and the fact that he's done relatively well when getting minutes, the ability to get 7 assists like he got in a win against Phoenix, the game before that he had 5 assists, that's a wrinkle that you're not really going to get from Ivica Zubac. So he's only rostered in 14% of leagues. I'd say if you need a big man in a 14 team or deeper, or desperation big in a 12 team league where all the other bigs have been picked off, give him a look. All right, guys, thank you so much for watching. I hope this video was informative and helpful. Above, I am going to put my waiver wire transaction trends video from Monday for week number 9. It goes in more in depth, and I don't really limit it to just guys with low ownership. And if you haven't checked it out yet, I'll put it somewhere over there. The trading video that I made, it's super in depth, and the whole point is to help you be better at identifying trade opportunities and executing those trades while angering the rest of your league. Thank you so much for watching. If you have not yet, smash that like button, subscribe to Barack Lesnar Hoops if you've made it this far, and click that bell notification so you can be alerted when these videos come out. Until next time, this is Barack of Barack Lesnar Hoops. I appreciate all of your support. Have a great day. Leave me a comment. Let me know how you're doing. Goodbye.